The Banking Royal Commission revealed a litany of fraud and greed at our biggest financial institutions, but 1 year on, Australians are still reluctant to switch to smaller, less profit-driven banks, it seems. So says Peter Locke anyway. He's the chief executive of Australia's largest mutual or customer-owned bank, the Queensland-based Heritage Bank. He says there's been no mass exodus of customers from the big banks to mutuals, despite the sector regularly coming out on top in Who Do You Trust surveys. Peter Locke says it's also unfair that executives at smaller banks like his will have to face the same tough new regulations and penalties as the big four. Peter Locke is speaking with our senior business correspondent, Cheryl Bagwell.
We don't have any bad customer behaviour that warrants a penalty regime being placed over us, and none of the mutuals are in that boat. We think the civil penalties that could apply are not proportionate. For us, those civil penalties would range to over $1 million.
I think you've previously complained that the smaller banks like yours were being crushed by a mountain of regulation. Are you saying that that's hampering your ability to compete with the bigger banks?
I think it is. We're not anti-regulation at all. And the good regulation is good for customers. But regulation for the sake of regulation actually stifles competition. And it stifles our ability to continue to provide products and services that benefit our customers. The legislation that's coming out of the Royal Commission at the moment is coming at a pace that's hard to keep up with. So what we're asking for is more time and more consultation to make sure that the regulation is fit for purpose, that it's proportionate, and ultimately what it's designed to do, or what it should be designed to do, is to create competition. The risk is that it takes competition away.
Post-Hayne Royal Commission, I believe Heritage Bank did find some anomalies in certain products of yours, which saw the need for you to compensate some customers. I believe you paid out more than $1 million last year. Is that right?
Yeah, so it's remediation.
But that wouldn't have happened without Hayne.
No,
would you agree?
It happened before Hayne in our case. So when we're looking through that, what we see are issues that are driven from good intentions. So we're bringing a product to market and trying to bring a product to market as quickly as possible. But there might be a coding error in the way that the product has been set up. So sometimes you find that product error through a customer complaint. What normally happens there is we try and fix that customer complaint very quickly. But what we have done through remediation is looking at the systemic issues that have created that complaint. And so when we've gone through, we've found that there have been, like any other bank, there have been some errors in product setup. And we've gone through to identify that, to rectify that, to compensate the client for that, and make good the client in the time value of money as well.
Did the revelations in the Banking Royal Commission about bank misbehaviour see customers switch out of the big banks, the traditional banks, and head to smaller banks, mutuals like yours?
Look, to a certain degree, but not to the extent that we were perhaps expecting. And it still perplexes us as to why there hasn't been more outcry. When you've seen some of the behaviour that was evidenced through the Royal Commission and the distrust that's been created in those brands, that hasn't translated into a mass customer exodus. You know, there is an inertia in the system that is quite frustrating, because we believe the model of customer ownership, of mutuality, is a compelling proposition. But it's a difficult proposition to articulate.
Have you done any research to work out what's behind that inertia?
Lots of research, and we continue to do the research as well. There's some really interesting research that's just come out last week from Roy Morgan, and they surveyed 50,000 people in their normal survey size. They identified 800 corporations in Australia, and out of those 800, they identified 190 institutions that were mentioned on a trust index more than 20 times. Mutuals are all in the trust sector, and the big four are all in the distrust sector.
Yet people still bank with them. Is it just a question of people, regardless if they mistrust them or not, they're big, so they're safer?
I think it's a matter of that, and it's a matter of the perception that it's too hard to switch, that it's just going to be a hassle. I've got everything built into my direct debits and my credit card payments and et cetera, and just dealing with banks, we've put up this wall that dealing with banks is difficult. And I don't think that's the case at all.
So do you think that might change once we kind of embark on this new era of so-called open banking, which basically means new technologies will allow people to, or bank customers to switch institutions and shop around for products more easily.
Yeah, it's called the Consumer Data Right. And that's first been introduced in the UK, so we're following that type of model. And it's now being introduced in Canada as well. So it sounds pretty easy. It's reasonably complex to put in place. The regulators have pushed back the time frames to have this going. But ultimately, yeah, it will. So the technology, and we're making huge, the industry is making huge strides in technology. You will see that it will become easier to switch banks. And that's going to have to be more beneficial to the Australian consumer because it's competition. And if you can vote with your feet, why wouldn't you?
Well, let's kind of ponder the future. You've just opened two new bank branches in suburban Sydney. You're looking around in Melbourne. You're doing this at a time when a swathe of so-called neobanks are entering the market. They're seeking to capitalise on a desire among young people, presumably in particular, to do all their banking online. Why do you think your bricks and mortar strategy still has a place in modern banking?
We believe, we call it digital with a physical presence. So we think that the neobanks are going to do it tough. They'll get a lot of customers that are interested in having a go or putting a little bit of money with them. But the name of the game is main financial institution. And so it's not customers just for the sake of customers. So when you're dealing with banks, you're dealing with trust. And the institutions that Australia has, us being one of them, Heritage is 145 years old. We also believe that people, when they're making bigger financial decisions about where they want to invest their life savings or where they want to borrow money from, have a bit more confidence when they can see that there's a bank standing behind them. The branches, you know, they will be a dying breed in time. We just don't think that their time is up yet.
Talking about the physical, I believe Heritage still issues passbooks to customers.
Well, we do, and it's a little bit retro, isn't it? But we have a great bulk of our clients that love the way that we do things. So not everything's got to be digital. Not everything's got to be shiny and new. People get fascinated with shiny and new things, but forgetting that we've got the bulk of our clients that have made the bank what it is today. And it would be disrespectful to suddenly ignore those people and their wishes while you go and pour all the money and new technology into something to attract new clients.
And what is it about passbooks that people really love in your
view? I don't know. I really don't know. But, you know, if I tried to shut passbooks down, I'd be run out of town.
Peter Locke is CEO of Australia's largest mutual bank, Heritage Bank. We're funny, aren't we? Peter Locke speaking to RN senior business correspondent, Cheryl Bagwell.